believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Thanks to station sponsor OzTip Recycling. The fast skip-in delivery at the best price. Book online now at oztiprecycling.com.au.
Good morning, I'm Donna Sirimana. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has begun talks with Quad leaders in the US. He's expected to discuss methods to maintain regional security in the Indo-Pacific. Clean energy and economic prosperity is also on the agenda. The summit, the fourth of its kind, underscores the ongoing commitment to collaborative action, with India slated to host the next gathering in 2025. Firefighters are actively monitoring a blaze on Sydney's northern beaches. Crews conducted back-burning operations overnight to safeguard homes on the eastern side of the fire at Oxford Falls, managing to contain the blaze. The 80-hectare fire was sparked by a hazard control burn that escalated into a bushfire emergency yesterday afternoon. Residents in a nearby avenue recounting what they witnessed as they saw smoke billowing into the sky.
Yeah, it's, you know, you don't want to see that happen around your area.
A friend of mine who's actually a firefighter said you better go home.
The wind has blown and it's, you know, we thought houses must be going up.
Queensland's Sunshine Coast is expected to see mostly clear skies today, where last night more than 300 southeast Queensland homes were left without power after the Sunshine Coast was dealt giant hail smashing the region. Wind gusts of 52 kilometres an hour were recorded at Tawantin. The storm cell quickly swept through the region. Calls to make contact sport safer are strengthening following new findings into the death of Manly Sea Eagles junior Keith Titmus. An inquest found the 20-year-old died from heat stroke during a training session in 2020. CTE lesions were later found after his family donated his brain for research. That's despite no clear signs of concussion. Sporting Brain Bank's Dr. Michael Buckland says it can be difficult to diagnose.
That is characterised and diagnosed by looking at the brain at autopsy under the microscope. It was a big surprise finding any CTE, let alone the level that we found in Keith's brain. And I think it's a real insight into this, how early this disease can start.
Turning to sport, the Roosters are through to a preliminary final against Melbourne after thumping the Sea Eagles 40-16. The brutal encounter saw two Manly players sent for HIAs in the first two tackles of the game. Wallabies captain Harry Wilson says his team gave it their all in a classic Bledisloe Cup battle. The All Blacks have retained the trophy with a 31-28 win at Stadium Australia, and Brisbane has stormed home against Geelong with a 10-point win to book their spot in the AFL Grand Final. That's news and sport.
Hi. 103.2.
It costs you nothing but a little bit of time. Station sponsor Catholic Care is looking for volunteers who can offer just 1 hour every 2 weeks. If you're in Western Sydney, Blue Mountains, the Hills or Hawkesbury regions, you can make a world of difference to an isolated elderly person. Catholic Care provides all the training so you can bring joy into an older person's life. 1 hour a fortnight, it's not much, is it? To become a volunteer visitor, just search Catholic Care Western Sydney.
What do you imagine a survivor of the Rwandan genocide would tell you? At this year's New College Lectures, Dr. Antoine Rutayusiri will be speaking on the power of forgiveness and finding peace and healing. For 3 nights, this Tuesday to Thursday, station sponsor New College presents survivor of the Rwandan genocide, Dr. Antoine Rutayusiri. These 3 free lectures are hosted at New College on the Uni of New South Wales campus. For more info, go to the events page on the New College UNSW website.
Refugee children in Uganda urgently need your help. Many are orphans, dying from hunger. Jesus said that whatever you do for that person in need, you do for me. You can feed a hungry refugee child for a month for just $6. By giving a little, you can do a lot.
Thank you.
More than a meal, you'll give them a future.
Give now at feedthehungry.org.au. Station sponsor, Feed the Hungry.
This spring, start your retirement journey at station sponsor St. Hedwig Village, where an exceptional lifestyle meets incredible value. Join us on Saturday the 28th of September between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Tour the remaining apartments in Stage 1 that start from just $475,000 and discover the joy of living in a stylish yet affordable apartment in an enviable location. Visit sthedwigvillage.com.au for more information. $475,000 is the starting price for a one-bedroom apartment. You may need to pay a departure fee when you leave the village.
Sydney Olympic Park, a special event at a core stadium from 9 a.m. this morning. Expect delays approaching Olympic Park, including the M4, Homebush Bay Drive, Concord Road and Lane Cove Road. And at Blacktown, we've got highway upgrades on the Prospect Highway. That's closing the eastbound on ramp to the Great Western Highway. Want an FBOS partner who fits your business like a glove? Switch to SmartPay for hands-down great customer service and zero-cost FBOS. Minimum turnover and T's and C's apply. Station sponsor. I'm Thomas. That's the latest Sydney traffic on Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, Christian Growth with Simon Manchester from All Saints Woollahra and Cornhill, Australia.
We're thinking today together about the battles that we face. Maybe this week you have had some battles already, relationships or circumstances, maybe some temptations, maybe some hardships, maybe some failures this past week. And we're going to get our help this morning, not from me and not from some guru, but we're going to get our help from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And I've given you an outline, a large A4 sheet, if you would like to use it as a help. If you've ever had helpful advice from a parent in the past or a friend, a mentor or a boss, you can imagine how wonderful it is to have the living God give help for living for him. The wonderful thing about God, my friends, is that he stands above the world and he sees all the paths that are in front of us and he can say to us, this is a good path, this is a troublesome path, this is a dangerous path, and he can actually guide us into the best path. That's the greatness. It's as if he is a fatherly sat-nav, a personal, fatherly, loving sat-nav, telling us the best path to go. By way of background, in case you were not here last week, the book of Proverbs is one of the 5 wisdom books in the Old Testament, and the books of wisdom in the Old Testament assume that God's people have entered the gate and are in the family of God, and now he's helping them on the path of life. Sometimes the Old Testament wisdom books are what we call neat. You may have noticed one in the reading this morning that if you live well, things will go well. If you're lazy, says Proverbs, you'll go hungry. That's what we would call neat wisdom. It's kind of simple, brief, almost too brief. And then there are other wisdom books like the book of Job or the book of Ecclesiastes, which are called radical wisdom. Why does Job, who's so faithful, suffer so much? Or the book of Ecclesiastes says, I work and I work and I work and I work and I die. What's the point? And we need both the neat and the radical wisdom in the wisdom books. Now, Proverbs, as we heard last week, provides us with about 900 one-liners. It's like a giant fruit salad. And so what we tried to do last week was we tried to pick out some of the verses to do with God as if we were picking the grapes out of the fruit salad. This week, we're trying to pick out some of the verses that have to do with battle as if we were picking the berries out of the fruit salad. But before we look at the text, I just want to give you two introductory truths. And the first one is this. Why should any of us care about the Proverbs or taking them seriously? Why should we care? Do you not sometimes think as you look at the rest of the world, and my wife and I were walking through a street in the city last night, and we were watching all the people having an absolutely wonderful time with the various pubs and the music, and everybody was just as happy as happy. And do you not sometimes say to yourself, why is it that the people of the world are often so happy and the Christians are so chewed up and tied up and stressed? Now, part of the answer to the question of why we should care about the book of Proverbs is that the Christian has been woken up by God to the issues of life and death. We do see life and death a little more seriously than most people in the world. And especially, we see life and death in the light of eternity. We have come by the grace of God to see that God is real. We're no longer asleep in the world, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We've been woken up. Christ has brought us salvation. He's brought us to discipleship. We call him Savior. We call him Lord. We seek to live with the facts. We can't go back to sleep. That's one of the reasons why we take these things more seriously. We don't believe that any path is fine. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't believe, as Christians, that morality is optional. We don't believe that morality is settled by ourselves or by popular vote. God has built gravity into the world as a fixture, and God has built morality into the world as a fixture. And if that were not enough, the path that he calls us to is the path of peace, the path with a future. So God, you see, has not taught gravity to harm us. He's not taught morality to harm us, but to help us. So why do we care? Well, because God cares. Second question. Why is it that in the battle, the Christian battle, the spiritual battle, why is it that it is such a losing battle? How come the Christian life is so hard? Where is the freedom? Where is the victory? You know, do you sometimes sing the hymns and think the rest of the people sitting in this building are probably just going along so smoothly and so easily and so faithfully? And for me, it's a complete struggle, failure, mess. Why is it so difficult? Now, part of the answer to this is that we have not been set free from the fight. We have been set free for the fight. Think of a man who goes to sleep tonight, turns off the light, tucks himself in, and falls asleep. And while he's asleep, a burglar sneaks in one of the windows, the bottom floor of the house. And he is asleep. He is completely unaware. It doesn't concern him. It's a non-issue. And then a neighbor who happens to be looking out the window, who sees the burglar creeping around, rings his friend and says, I think somebody has just broken into your house. Suddenly the man is awake. He's not been set free from the trouble. He's been set free for the trouble. His hand goes to the phone. He rings 000. His other hand goes to the golf club behind the door, and he steps forward for the fight. Not from the fight, for the fight. So you see, the unbeliever has no real awareness of the fight. The believer has been freed in order to fight. And therefore, we must thank God if we are conscious of the battle. You may have come to church this morning conscious of great failures this past week. Why does it worry you? Part of the reason is because you're conscious of the fight. These things matter. Now, the battles that you fight, my friends, are not deciding your salvation. Jesus decided your salvation at the cross. It's because you are saved. It's because you have been set free to fight. And you've been set free to fight the good fight. So with those two thoughts in mind, why should we care? Because God cares about us. And why does the fight seem so tough? Because it is a good fight that we have been woken up to. I want to now talk about two broad areas of battle. You can see them on the outline. The first one is temptation. We'll spend a few minutes on that, and then a closing minute on relationships. First of all, temptations. I cannot for a minute think that the subject of temptation in the book of Proverbs is irrelevant. I was looking through my paper yesterday, and I noticed that a man, a financial planner, has spent $3 million of his clients' funds on gambling, and he's now in big trouble. I noticed that it costs $1,000 an hour to get a divorce lawyer. I noticed that a beloved entertainer, who I think has just died, has said in the paper that for 10 years his life was ruined by drink. This Proverbs is dealing with reality. And God's word is precious. It's costly to avoid it. And the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are like a father talking to a son, telling the son how to take the best path to the best goal. So Proverbs 3, verse 21, the father says to the son, take hold of God's wisdom and you will walk safely. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, God's path gets brighter. The path of the wicked will get darker. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12, don't be like those, says the father to the son, who don't listen, then lose everything and say, I wish I'd listened. Well, it's a sad reality, isn't it, that we think we're better than God. I often fall into the trap of thinking I'm better than God, and I bet you do as well. We say to ourselves something like this. Unconsciously, we say, well, God's word is nice, but I think I can have the best of everything. And so we turn our back on the word of God, and we find that he is right and we are wrong. We think that we can pick and choose, but God is actually wiser than we are. We discover then that the road of sin actually does get quite dark. We discover as we walk the road of sin that our faith begins to fade, our hope begins to fade, our prayers begin to fade, and God is exactly as he says. Now, perhaps for a while down the path of sin, it's fine and quite good fun, but it soon loses its sheen. And like the prodigal son, in the providence of God, we may come to our senses and we may come home. The greatest tragedy of all is the person who goes down the road of sin, loses all interest in Christ, and never wants to return. That is a terrible tragedy. Proverbs 7 describes a simple boy walking at night down the street, drifting along, fairly clueless, and meets a prostitute. She persuades him to come into her home, and we read in Proverbs 7, as an ox goes blindly to slaughter, as a bird flies to the snare, he did not know this would cost him his life. Now, please don't mishear me. If you're conscious of failures, they can be forgiven. That's what the blood of Christ does. But when you set yourself the commitment and the policy to have nothing more to do with God, nothing more to do with Christ, you've committed yourself to the path of darkness and you sell your soul. Now, Proverbs talks very generally about temptation, but it also talks very specifically. For example, I've put as an example on the sheet the subject of wine and drink. There's a very long section about wine and drink in Proverbs 23. And I know this will affect some people here this morning, and it will be of no interest to other people. But it is true, isn't it, that those who give themselves to wine, they give their heart, mind, soul, and strength to wine, will suffer. Proverbs 23 says, your eyes will see strange things and your mouth will say strange things. Well, that's true, isn't it? And then it says, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. Now, the Bible tells us that God has given us wine to enjoy. It's a gift. We're told in the New Testament that Jesus on one occasion famously made gallons of wine at a wedding. But it is lovingly true, isn't it, as the Father speaks to the Son, or God speaks to his people, that if we are to give ourselves to the mastery of drink or alcohol, it's going to be very damaging and a terrible, terrible waste. Drink is a wonderful servant, terrible master. And we need help, don't we, to escape if we're in the grip of it. And even those who are wonderfully helped out of the grip often are very vulnerable. Another subject which Proverbs raises is the subject of laziness or being a sluggard. And there's lots of quite humorous verses in Proverbs about being lazy. Now, does this matter? The famous Proverbs 6:6 says that we, if we're lazy, should go to the ant and study the ant and see how industrious the ant is, storing up food for the future. Or Proverbs 14 says there's a neglected vineyard that the writer is looking at. It's all overgrown with weeds and the walls have collapsed. And this neglect is going to lead to poverty. The vineyard will be fruitless. Well, now, is this a battle for some people? Certainly true, isn't it, that some people just drift and drift and drift into trouble. Too much free time can be a danger. And if you find yourself or find people who hate discipline and hate work and hate doing anything that they're told, they can easily fall into other traps. And that's what Proverbs is warning against. A third temptation is pride or arrogance. And we read in Proverbs 11, with pride comes shame, with humility comes wisdom. Or Proverbs 16, pride is an abomination to God. He hates it. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before a fall. That's where the famous proverb comes from. And it is a form of insanity to be proud, isn't it? Because suddenly you've inflated your head and you're giving credit to yourself, which really belongs to the giver of everything. And of course, pride is the great sin that separates friends. There are lots of temptations. You know, drinking would be one that actually brings people together. But pride tends to separate, because there is a superiority and an inferiority and a greatness and a smallness which separates. So those are some of the sort of simple temptations which are raised in the book of Proverbs, and there's others like speech and despondency and fear. But the two big killers, I would imagine, for many people would be money and sex. And Proverbs is not afraid to take on these two subjects. So when it comes to money or wealth, there are many warnings in Proverbs about money. I mean, how do you save a greedy person who cannot stop thinking about money? I remember hearing a story of a lady, a wife, who pushed her husband in the middle of the night and said, "Turn over." And he just immediately responded, "70 million. That's all he can think about. Money is on his mind the whole time. How do you save a greedy person? Well, the answer is with difficulty. And chapter 11, verse 4 of Proverbs says, riches do no good in the day of wrath. We all know, of course, people say you can't take your money with you. That's perfectly obvious. But that doesn't stop people getting as much as they possibly can so that they can live as well and fast as they can, and then it's all over. But that's not what the proverb said. The proverb says there's a day of wrath. And the money will be no good on the day of wrath. Imagine standing before God and saying, "I'm a multimillionaire." And he says, "Yes, but what did you do about the greatest gift you could possibly have had, my son?" Proverbs 23 says, "Be careful of money, because riches are soon gone. They fly away like an eagle." So if you are a person for whom this world is everything, money will be seen as the passport. But if you're a person who's been brought to see that there is a resurrection and an eternity, which is much bigger and better than this very short life, your money will be seen as a servant and a servant of the gospel. I would say in pastoral ministry over 43 years, I've seen money absolutely ruin families. A husband who's offered a job and then decides that he must take it because it's so prestigious and it's so well paid, and drags the family off to the other side of the world, and there's no fellowship, there's no teaching, and they begin to crumble apart. But I've also seen so many families in pastoral ministry for whom money is a servant. under control, wonderfully used for lives transformed. And Proverbs is carefully warning against the trap. Another big area in Proverbs, of course, is sex, physical relationships. Proverbs raises this a lot. It's a good gift from God, sex, turned by many into a god, an ultimate. That's always the danger, isn't it, where we take something that's good and make it ultimate, place that it doesn't deserve. And sex itself can be a tough master, a very tough master. Proverbs 6, verse 24, says, "The seductress sees you as a loaf of bread." Isn't that interesting that in the reality of Proverbs, let's imagine the man sees the woman as a piece of meat and the prostitute sees the man as a loaf of bread. Both are demeaning. Both are dreadful. Proverbs 6 verse 27 says, "Can we take coals and put them in our lap, hot coals, and not be burnt?" It's a big, big battleground, isn't it? Huge, morally and spiritually. And Proverbs is warning God's people against crossing the boundaries into temptation, calling the husband to be faithful to his wife. Proverbs 5, "Drink from your own well. Don't go drinking from other wells." Proverbs might be speaking for many in the church and the world when we read in chapter 7, many other victories that immorality has brought down. The great Baptist preacher Spurgeon said, well, he often used to pray this prayer, "Oh God, when I have the inclination to sin, take away the opportunity. And when I have the opportunity, please take away the inclination." It's a wise thing to pray. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer that we should ask on a daily basis that we would be delivered from temptation and evil. Now, the big question that we have to ask in this battle is, do we want to lose Jesus? Are we the sort of people who will say, look, I want what I want, and so if Jesus has to go, Jesus has to go? In which case, what you're doing is you're grabbing something which is going to be so quick and losing the person who is your eternal hope. That's the danger. "All sin is forgivable," said Jesus. "All sin is forgivable," said Jesus, "except turning and walking away from the Savior." And we must seek his mercy for sins that we've committed, and we must stick to his instruction. Now, in the last minute this morning, a word from Proverbs on relationships. Proverbs is very interested in relationships. It's interested in friendship. It's interested in neighbors. It's interested in brothers. It's interested in family. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times." Proverbs 18 says, "There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Well, isn't it wonderful that God provides us with friends who stick close when everybody else deserts us? Proverbs 3 says, "Don't plan evil against your neighbor." And Proverbs 25, quite humorously, I think, says, "Don't call in to your neighbor too often, or he will begin to hate you." And then in the matter of relationships, speech is so crucial. Proverbs 18, "The mouth of fools are their undoing." Proverbs 10, "The lips of the righteous nourish." Proverbs 16, "Gracious words are a honeycomb." Proverbs 15, "A gentle answer turns away wrath." And therefore, Proverbs 13, "Guard your mouth and guard your life." The New Testament tells us that we are incapable of controlling our tongue. But the Lord Jesus spoke perfectly, never a word out of season. And he is able to forgive us and help us to speak more helpfully. Now, as we finish this morning, I want to ask the big question, and that is, will Proverbs do us any good? Will we go out of church today and say, gee, we heard a lot of stuff, but nothing's really going to change? Is Proverbs a waste of space in the Bible? And the answer to the question is that we in Jesus have a Savior. And Jesus being the Savior makes us safe. Somebody has said that Christianity means remission and admission. Remission, sins remitted. Admission, entry into God's family forever. That's beautiful. Two simple words when somebody says to you this week, what is Christianity? It's remission and it's admission. Beautiful. We also, if we're Christians, have God's Spirit at work in our hearts, helping us and strengthening us to walk in God's ways. But Proverbs is God speaking to us as a loving Father, bringing comfort so that we might know He cares about us, and also bringing warning against very skillful lies. And lies do come very skillfully. I read this week of a man who bought himself a new huge television and a three-month trial period of whatever it was, 900 channels. And he said after being addicted to the television for 3 months straight, he came to this conclusion that what is being presented as the secular message is, one, an illusion, two, temporary, and three, it has no place for losers. But Jesus stands above the world in His risen power, and He says, I'll forgive you for the mistakes. I'll give you my Holy Spirit to live in you and help you to live for me. And I will give you the path and the pattern which is best for you so that you will have peace and a future. Well, we couldn't be more thankful. Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, our Heavenly Father, for giving us a Savior, and we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for giving us the Scriptures, able to make us wise, comforted, and in your goodness, faithful. Please help us. Help us to hear and heed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear this again and many other messages from Simon, subscribe to the podcast. Search for Christian Growth wherever you get your podcasts or listen at our website, hope1032.com.au.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. Beneath the water, I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this broken leg? Either way, I'm bound to the things of this world, and I'm.
and it's Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another.
Did you know we have a podcast?
I know. Stop it. Stop it right now. For all the bits or mornings that you've missed.
The laugh out loud moments, the real life chats.
That's Hope Ricky.
And you can subscribe and rate us with Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
or the Hope 103.2 app.
Oh, she does.
You're welcome.
Hope 103.2's Care Line is a listening ear when you need it most. When life is overwhelming, when times are tough, when you just need someone to talk to who will listen, care and pray with you. You're not alone. The Hope 103.2 Care Line is there for you. Call 722 75533 to confidentially speak with one of our trained Hope 103.2 Care Line volunteers. 722 75533 or at hope1032.com.au.
When you go solar with SolarHeart, you'll join the smart Aussies lowering their energy bills with every sunrise. And right now, you can save up to $1,000 on SolarHeart solar power systems, including our revolutionary new Silhouette bifacial panels with a SolarHeart 30-year Australian warranty. To save up to $1,000 today and reduce your energy bills for years to come, get smart. Get SolarHeart. Terms and conditions apply.
Station sponsor.
Divorce is never easy. It can be emotional and messy, which is why Unified Lawyers is here for you. Station sponsor Unified Lawyers is rated one of the best family lawyers in Sydney, with over 450 five-star reviews from happy clients all over Australia. They'll really listen to understand your situation and get the results that will help you move on with your life. Unified Lawyers, here for you. To book a free consultation, go to unifiedlawyers.com.au.
Hope 103.2.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Hey, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's
One radio station everyone can agree on. Sydney's Hope 103.2.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Imagine if your bank only let you see your balance once a month. This is the reality for most aged care clients on a home care package. Independent people make decisions daily. At station sponsor Bannister in Home Care, all you need is your email address. Your My Care Now page shows the details of your subsidy and charges to display an up-to-date balance. We think it makes sense in a world that's turning a little faster than it used to. Call Bannister In-Home Care now. 1300 368 991.
Refresh, relax and rejuvenate at Chic Skin and Laser Clinics. The latest technology combines with the best staff to give real results. With services from laser skin resurfacing, hair removal and photo rejuvenation to wrinkle and pigment correction, oxygen facials and massage, plus lots more. Cosmetic doctors are on site with expert skincare to achieve real results. Visit station sponsor Chic Skin and Laser Clinics today at Penrith. Check out chicskinandlaserclinics.com.au.
This coffee moment is brought to you by station sponsor Pablo and Rusty's Coffee Roasters. We source, roast, brew and serve delicious, ethical and sustainable specialty coffee right here in Sydney. Fresh beans, compostable pods, coffee concentrate and more delivered to your door. Order now at pabloandrustys.com.au. Use promo code HOPE for an exclusive discount. Pablo and Rusty's. Drink better coffee. Change the world.
Today's high cost of living adds to family stress. Bridging the Gap has been supporting communities in Sydney's West for 40 years, helping parents get their kids the best start in life. Free financial counselling is just one of their services. Others include counselling for all ages, school programs, and accessing no-interest loans for essentials. They're also a registered NDIS provider. To find out more about free financial counselling and all the other services of Bridging the Gap, visit btg.org.au.
Hope 1032.
This is my radio station, and I love listening to it.
Hope
103.2. Refreshing, fun, and life-giving. When I wake into the morning,
3-2 News. Thanks to station sponsor Spannenberg & Son, your home renovation and extension specialist since 1971. Visit www.yourhomeextension.com.au.
Good morning, I'm Donna Sirimana. The number of people seeking asylum in Australia has hit a six-year high. According to SMH The Age, a record 117,000 people are at our shores awaiting their fate as huge backlogs expose the immigration system to exploitation. The list of people in limbo is growing by about 1,000 every month. The Quad Summit meeting has begun in the US state of Delaware at President Joe Biden's old high school. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has joined his Indian and Japanese counterparts to discuss issues of regional importance, including defence, trade and climate change. In his opening remarks, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi thanked President Biden for setting up the Quad.
Under your leadership, in 2021, the first summit was held, and in such a short span of time, we have enhanced our cooperation in every sphere in ways unprecedented.
Israeli forces and Hezbollah have carried out some of the heaviest attacks since the start of the Gaza conflict. The IDF is warning of a possible Hezbollah attack within a short time frame in retaliation to strikes and the detonation of communication devices over recent days. The Israeli government is extending emergency guidelines for civilians, limiting public and outdoor gatherings. Also making news, the United States has approved a nasal spray flu vaccine for self-administration, making it the first of its kind. The coalition is considering an overhaul of the beer excise as the price of a schooner skyrocketed.